live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Emma Rose Callaghan with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, unusual blood clots should be listed as a possible side effect of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. The health watchdog is carrying out a review of gynaecology services at Letterkenny University Hospital. And it's been claimed that an area of Letterkenny has become a hub of underage drinking and antisocial behaviour. And Oisín Kelly will be here with the latest in sport at around 5:15. But first in news, unusual blood clots should be listed as possible side effects of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, according to Europe's health regulator. The European Medicines Agency has found a possible link between the vaccine and rare blood clotting. It insists the benefits of the jab outweigh the risks. Executive Director of the EMA, Eimear Cook, says it is not possible to identify specific risk factors.
Based on the current available evidence, specific risk factors such as age, gender, or previous medical history of clotting disorders have not been able to be confirmed, as the rarest events are seen in all ages and in men and women.
In the UK, people under 30 are going to be offered an alternative to the AstraZeneca vaccine where possible because of the chance of developing rare blood clots. The British medicines regulator says the link with the jab is getting firmer, but overall the benefits continue to outweigh the risks for most people. The HSC will launch its online vaccine booking system in 2 weeks' time. Members of the public will be able to register on the portal from the week starting April 19th. Those aged between 65 and 69 will be the first to use the system. Head of the HSC, Paul Reid, explains how the system will work.
When people in that age group will register, they'll register their details and biographical details on the portal. They will get a combination of an email, text message back to validate their details. They'll do that. They're then registered on the portal. We obviously know we'll have to deal with some exceptions who people may not have internet.
The health watchdog is carrying out a review of gynaecology services at Letterkenny University Hospital. The assessment, which is getting underway today, is to ensure recommendations from a previous report have been carried out, which found errors and delays in cancer diagnosis at the hospital. The HSC review published last summer showed some women were not given follow-up appointments. Concerns were first raised around the hospital's services in 2018. HICWA's head of healthcare, Sean Egan, says it's essential that women accessing these services are assured that the service is safe.
We're conducting a follow-up review, which will look at how the hospital and hospital group have worked to implement recommendations from an external review that was commissioned by the HSE and completed late last year into gynae services at Letterkenny University Hospital, and specifically the concerns that arose at the hospital related to delayed diagnosis of endometrial cancer in a number of women. The concerns were raised by a number of brave women coming forward to tell their stories. External review was completed in the middle of last year. It was quite firm in its recommendations. There were 6 recommendations that were made. And we believe that it's now appropriate for us in our monitoring role to follow up and ensure that on the ground those recommendations have been implemented, and that women who need to avail of the services in Donegal can be assured that lessons have been learned and that those recommendations have been implemented and that services are safe. So the intention is that we'll conduct this review pretty quickly. The intention is that we will publish our findings towards late summer, in and around August time, and hopefully at that stage we'll be in a position to determine exactly where things are, and that we'll be in a position to provide an assurance to the public that those lessons have been learned.
Three major teaching unions have voted in favour of a motion for industrial action. The ASTI, the INTO and TUI all backed the proposal today. They say teachers should be prioritised for vaccines as they interact with dozens of children every day. The issue was discussed with local representatives on today's 9 till noon show. Anya McGinley, Central Executive Committee representative for Donegal and Leitrim with the INTO, says the government must step up.
We can have up to 34 pupils in a classroom at a time from 34 different households for 6 hours a day. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to people that are working remotely or people that are not encountering other people to be vaccinated before we are. I mean, we have to look at the fact the government aren't even sitting in the Dáil at the moment. They're hiring the convention centre, but yet and all, we are being put into classrooms up to 34 pupils at a time for 6 hours a day. We want to be in school, we want to be face to face, but the government absolutely have to step up.
Meanwhile, the Education Minister says there are excellent measures in schools to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Norma Foley says schools are safe.
There's considerable investment being given to schools in terms of reconfiguring their buildings, in terms of PPE. So there is no question of funding not being made available. And I think it is not for me in terms of the Department of Education to say it, but I think public health have very, very clearly asserted that the mitigation measures that are in place in school are excellent.
The Green Party leader says there was no row between different departments over the issue of mandatory hotel quarantine. Disagreements emerged between the Department of Health and Foreign Affairs last week over adding more EU countries and the US onto the quarantine list. Discussions will take place next Tuesday at a meeting of the Cabinet on the issue. But Green Party leader and Transport Minister Eamon Ryan played down any suggestions of a row between different departments.
I don't believe it's accurate to say, you know, our officials were opposed to the Department of Health. Not only is there not kind of a row at political level, I mean, there you have different opinions, different views. People question how we do things. That's absolutely appropriate. But I don't think it's depicted Department of Health versus other departments. I don't think that's the case.
The Department of Social Protection has issued a warning about scammers pretending to be from its offices. It says people have received phone calls where the callers ask for details like their name, PPS number and sometimes bank details. This information is never requested over the phone by true department staff, and it's urging the public to ignore the calls. It's been claimed that an area of Letterkenny has become a hub of underage drinking and antisocial behaviour. The football pitch and surrounding area at Old Town is currently in the process of being regenerated, with efforts ongoing by the local community in keeping it clean. However, in recent times, groups of youths are said to be congregating on the site and effectively causing havoc. Gardaí have endeavoured to continue to monitor the situation closely. Local community activist Colin McDade says it's disheartening to see the good work being undone.
Everybody's feeling the effect of lockdown, but you know the children are feeling it as well. You know, because I believe in giving ownership to the young people and giving them a bit of respect. It's a bit of education they need, maybe going on with different agencies, like, you know, even lifting their litter. And you know, if they're going to drink, they're going to drink. Me and you's not going to stop them. The parents can't control them. We can't control them. But like leaving the mess behind and stuff. We had the environmental workers from the community development, Letterkenny Community Development Project, down last Thursday and cleaned up the mess in that area. And must say, credit to Margaret Turner and her staff, absolutely left it spotless. But we're working with, you know, other agencies to say, you know, work with the council and the Letterkenny CDP, different councillors like Councillor McMonagall and Councillor Brogan are very proactive with us. We've had meetings with the council, we've met both them. I say, it's just I think a lack of recreation facilities in there is a major thing. So we have an ongoing project at the minute in conjunction with the council, a partnership with them to, you know, take control of the football pitch again, get it done up to playable standards stuff, and give them amenity back in the area, because we have very little amenities or green space.
CETA's location lead in Letterkenny believes the region can compete with the best that's out there and is looking forward to increasing his team. Last month, the company announced the creation of 55 new jobs at its base in the town. CETA provides IT services to the transport industry and opened its offices in Letterkenny in 2003 with an initial workforce of 20. Vincent Kennedy spoke to Kieran O'Donnell on this week's Business Matters podcast. He says the North West has so much to offer.
I'm really looking forward to growing the team in Letterkenny. It's something that I'm very excited about. I'm quite passionate, not just about CETA, but also about Letterkenny and the North West region of Ireland, and making sure that, I think this region can compete with the best. I look at some of the other organisations we have here, some of the skills and talents we have here, and most importantly, the environment we have around us, the quality of life that you can have in the North West region. So I'm delighted to be involved in building the CETA team in Letterkenny in this region, because I think there's all of the ingredients to be very successful in this region.
A community in South Inishowen are said to be frustrated over what's been described as an escalating problem with fly tipping in the area. It's after a significant amount of green bags full of old paint tins and other rubbish were discovered dumped on the Bunamain Road leading to Calais yesterday. An effort by local volunteers ensured that rubbish was subsequently cleaned up. Anyone with information has been urged to contact Donegal County Council. Local councillor Paul Canning says he can't understand why people go to the effort of illegal dumping when the cost of disposing the rubbish properly would probably cost the same.
Fly tipping and people dumping rubbish along our country roads, it's disappointing, and it shows a disrespect to the countryside, and in particular to the many volunteers that we have out picking up the litter. We have some great teams and South Inishowen that are trying their best on a monthly basis, supported by the council through Pierce McGrory and Noel and the Laurie, and they are out every Saturday morning working hard, lifting the rubbish, and you see the likes of this week in and week out along our county roads. I think it's very disrespectful.
Is the issue escalating in the area?
I think it's just that people are more aware and using the county roads more and see that type of thing happening. I think it's been more focused upon than ever before. It baffles me sometimes how people are doing this sort of crack, because we all know that the 10 euros or thereabouts will fall a full willy bun. Yet now people get to the bother of putting rubbish into a trailer, driving along the countryside, and having to wait their chance to dump it out. It nearly costs a tenner to do that, you know what I mean? So I can't understand why people just don't do the bin system that's collected at your door.
President Michael D. Higgins says the state and Irish society have failed in their obligation to address the needs and challenges facing travellers. Ahead of International Traveller and Roma Day tomorrow, the president says the travelling community is still experiencing racism and neglect. He says members of the community have been unfairly excluded from education for generations. President Michael D. Higgins says this must be addressed.
Our failure for so long to address with compassion and understanding the needs of the travelling community has, of course, been recognised recently as a failure to meet our obligations, including those under the European Social Charter. The statistics are appalling in terms of what has persisted as exclusion. Only 14% of traveller women have completed secondary education, compared to 83% in the general population.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by MichaelMurphySports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
And we'll cross over to sport now with Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Emma Rose. We start with international football, and Dublin is on the brink of relinquishing its status as a host city for Euro 2020. The FIA have informed UEFA today that it cannot guarantee spectator numbers for the Aviva Stadium. It's believed European football's governing body wants stadiums to be able to operate at 25% capacity. The Aviva is due to host four matches, starting with Group E, Poland against Slovakia on June 14th. A final decision on all host cities is due later in the month. The Scottish FA have confirmed they'll allow Hampden Park to be quarter full, hosting around 12,000 people for their matches. Wembley will host at least 10,000 fans for group games, with a minimum of 40,000 spectators for the semi-finals and a final. Sevilla is the venue for the first leg of Chelsea's Champions League quarter-final with Porto this evening. The Portuguese champions are the nominal home team for tonight's match. Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel feels Saturday's shock defeat to West Brom will now help his squad regain their focus.
We got a big slap in the face, like I said, and if it is most necessary to remind us how tough it is to have clean sheets to keep on winning, okay, we take it like this.
Elsewhere in the Champions League, defending champions Bayern Munich welcome Paris Saint-Germain to the Allianz Arena. Both games tonight start at 8 o'clock. Kevin De Bruyne has signed a new contract with Manchester City until the summer of 2025. The Belgium international has won two Premier League titles, an FA Cup and four League Cups since arriving at City from Wolfsburg in 2015. There's a big top of the table clash tonight in the Irish League Premiership. Linfield, who are 9 points clear, take on second place Coleraine. Linfield do have a game less played heading in to tonight's fixture. On the horse racing front, Donegal jockey Conor Orr is hoping to build on his third place finish in the Irish Grand National. In what was his first ride in the Irish Jump Showpiece, the Ballyar man was placed on board 40-1 shot in Joy Delan. Conor, who's brother of Oisin Orr, the St. Ledger winner from last year, would love to be a Grand National winner, but was far from disappointed with his placed finish on Easter Monday at Ferry House.
It's probably the first time I've been beat where I haven't been disappointed when I passed the line, yeah. Normally, I don't like finishing second or third, but I would have taken that any day, yeah. But ever since I started riding over jumps, I've always kind of been trying to get a winner in the bigger races, but I think every jump jockey would love to win either an Irish or even an English national.
And you can watch that interview with Conor Orr. It's available now in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com, or indeed you can check it out on our social media channels as well, Highland Radio News and Sport and Highland Radio. The Gaelic Games, Donegal will play Galway, Mayo and Westmeath in Division 1A of the Ladies National Football League, which will get underway on May 23rd. The LGFA has become the first Gaelic Games body to confirm a return date after the government greenlit an April 19th resumption of inter-county training. Donegal's senior ladies team manager is Maxi Kern.
I say we're just that thankful to have something to aim for. I've said it before, county footballers, whether they be male or female, by their nature are very hardworking individuals, and it's a 12-month thing they do now is to play county football. You know, it's not just an in-season or an out-of-season, and you know, these guys have been training away since we would have finished last year in December, and it's been a long run, and so I'm just glad for everybody that there's a bit of a date now to get started, and look what happens after the league is anybody's guess, so we just be thankful for small mercies, I think.
To snooker, Antrim teenager Robbie McGuigan leads Mitchell Mann by 3-2 in the first round of the World Championship qualifier. Earlier, there was defeat for County Tyrone's Fergal Quinn. He lost out against veteran Dubliner Fergal O'Brien by just 2-6-4, while Cork's Aaron Hill was beaten 6-4 by Ashley Hugill. Meanwhile, organisers of the World Championships have confirmed they plan to have a full capacity crowd for the final in May. The number of fans allowed into the Crucible in Sheffield will gradually increase as the tournament progresses. Everyone that does attend must take a COVID-19 test and wear a mask. The first round starts a week on Saturday. And finally, in golf news, next month's French Open has been postponed due to coronavirus restrictions in the country. It's hoped the European Tour event can be moved to a date later in the year. The tournament was due to take place at Le Golf National just outside Paris between the 6th and the 9th of May. But before that, there's a huge tournament starting tomorrow. We'll all be keeping a very, very close eye on Rory McIlroy and how things pan out in Augusta at the Masters. That's your sport, Emma Rose. We'll have our next bulletin tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. And finally in news, it's anticipated that Lonely Planet's latest list of top 10 beaches will put Donegal firmly on the map ahead of the summer season. The renowned travel publisher has ranked both Tramore in Dunfanaghy and Ballymastocker Bay near Port Salon in their list of Ireland's best beaches. 8 of those selected are along the west coast, with 2 each in Donegal, Mayo and Kerry. The writer described Ireland's coastline as a beachgoer's paradise. paradise. Councillor Liam Blaney says the Fannad Peninsula generally has a lot to offer, and this latest accolade can only mean good things.
Look, we've known for a long time here in the Fannad Peninsula that it was one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. It's actually voted number two in the world at one time. But it's great news to hear that it's on the top 10 on Lonely Planet magazine. And as you say, coming into summer months, and hopefully the tourism will be taken off again, and hopefully it'll help to attract a lot more tourists to this area. And on top of that as well, you know, we've done Fannahy there too, who's only neighbours of ours here, and they're the top 10 as well. So look, over the Harry Blaney Bridge, Shorts up down is in Fannahy, and the two of us pretty close to each other. And hopefully, as I said, we'll benefit the whole wider area from Dunfanaghy to Downing, to Fannet, and up into Rathmullen.
And quite a timely accolade, as Monday will see some easing of restrictions as it relates to people being able to travel with in their own county too.
Well, it's good to see some restrictions starting to lift, and hopefully it will keep going that way, and that it won't be stopped anywhere along the line, and that we'll keep making progress. And I'm quite sure people have heard plenty of bad news stories in the last while, so hopefully this will give them maybe a wee cheers up and into summer once again.
And in terms of, we did see last summer staycations, the big draw. I'm sure that Port Salon featuring on this very highly acclaimed list can only be a positive factor in contributing to people maybe staycationing in the area.
Yeah, well, we all know that there's huge potential here in Fannad for tourism, and I think that maybe this might kick-start it off again, because it has kind of died away this last number of years. And with the Fannad Lighthouse down here as well, hopefully maybe people will put Fannad on their map when they are touring and staying local.
And finally, in weather, cloudy this evening and tonight with patchy light rain and drizzle in the west. Clearer spells will develop overnight, mostly in the east, allowing pockets of mist to form in places. Lowest temperatures of 2 to 5 degrees. And a look at the closing headlines. Unusual blood clots should be listed as a possible side effect of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. That's according to Europe's health regulator. The health watchdog is to carry out a review of gynaecology services at Letterkenny University Hospital. And it's claimed that an area of Letterkenny has become a hub of underage drinking and antisocial behaviour. That's all from Highland Radio News and Sport for now. You can listen back to a podcast of the main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Back again with the headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Wednesday evening, April 7th. The death has taken place of Martha McColgan, née Hughes, 49 Lambton Court, Strabane, and formerly of Lifford. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. Martha's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam on Friday at 11 o'clock at melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Mrs. Evelyn Beats, Carricknamana, Killigordon. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral service at Monaghan Parish Church, Killigordon, tomorrow at 1:30, with interment afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to Monaghan Parish Church Fund, care of any family member or Gibson Funeral Directors Convoy. The death has taken place of Seamus Campbell, Tully Vinnie, Raffoe. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass at St. Eunan's Church, Raffoe, at 11 o'clock on Friday, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery convoy. Mass can be viewed live on parishchurchraffoe.com. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to St. Vincent de Paul and Heart Support Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Gibson Funeral Directors Convoy. And the death has taken place of Mary Jo Boyle, née McSorley, Bunaman Anagri, and formerly of Lohanure. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral Mass will take place in St. Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Anagri, tomorrow at 12 noon. followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government and HSE restrictions, the wake, funeral and burial will be strictly private to immediate family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The rosary can be viewed on the Annagree Parish Facebook page tonight at 8 o'clock. Funeral Mass will be broadcast on the Colm Gillespie Funeral Director Facebook page and on the Annagree Parish webcam.